Hello everyone, hope you're all doing great. I just wanted to share this that if you suffer from mental health problems, remember that you're gonna get a lot better with it, but you're always gonna have some down days. So if you just accept them and that it's gonna happen and that you just need to get through it, it's gonna make it a lot easier. Because I have the same really. I'll have lots of good days, but when I have a down day, I just accept that I'm gonna have them. And then when I'm not fighting it as much in my head and being annoyed I'm having one, it makes the day a lot easier. Because remember, after every dark day, there's going to be brighter days after that. I love you, enjoy these stories, and make sure you check out my Instagram at Joe the Insomniac on my podcast in the description below. I used to live with my mum and dad on different weekends when I was younger. My dad had a really cool house that was kind of in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by very dense forests and woods. I used to love it here. I was visiting him one particular weekend in the summer, and it was really nice out. I was wearing sun cream because I can get tanned really easily and then burned. Now I was just listening to music near some trees when I suddenly hear a sound behind me. I haven't realised how dark it's gotten, but there's a strange dog looking at me that I've never seen before. I'm kind of scared of dogs, so I really don't like this, and I start to back up. As I do, rain starts falling on me. I don't really notice it because I'm scared of the dog. Now I suddenly remember the rumours that my friends have told me to try and scare me, that this area was used for satanic rituals and that sometimes they see people dressed in robes here. I'm very scared now and my palms are sweating as I try and turn my phone off so I can concentrate more and be aware of dangers. I then hear something whisper next to me. I look to my left, and I'm not kidding, I can see multiple things hanging in the trees. They look almost like robed figures, but they're far too dark. It's impossibly black what they're wearing. It's almost like no light escapes from them. Tears fill my eyes as I don't know if what I'm seeing is real, or if I'm having some kind of psychotic episode. I know it can't be this, because I'm fully conscious, and I've never had any mental history. I turn back and begin sprinting, not knowing what on earth I've just seen. I sprint back inside and scream for my dad. He then comes down and says, "Hey, what were you hanging up in the trees?" I scream out what happened, and he goes to grab his gun. We both sprint out there, and can't find anything. 2 weeks later, my dad left that house, and we ended up moving county. Now, I'm not somebody who really believes in the paranormal or all of the satanic stuff, but I wouldn't have thought much of this story if it was only me that it happened to, but the fact that my dad had seen them things in the trees too is what truly terrifies me. I grew up in a very small town in Metro Detroit. Back in 2006, when I was 16, I would take my family dog for a walk every day. He was a Portuguese water dog, and often people would stop and say, "What kind of dog is he?" This particular time, an older man, probably late 40s or early 50s, in a white van of course, pulled up next to me saying, "What kind of dog is he?" I told him kindly that he's a Portuguese water dog. Not at all surprised by the question, he proceeds to try and converse in a small talk with trees around him, looking around anxiously. As I would answer, I noticed he's not paying attention to me. He was almost undressing me with his eyes. He had a look in his eyes, almost like he was getting ready to pounce. I don't know how else to explain it, but to this day, no one's ever looked at me the same. That's when the alarm bells went off to get away from him. I literally turned around mid-sentence and start panic walking opposite to where he is. I go to my left as I know he can't follow me unless he gets out. As I walk away, he screams, "Hey, where you going?" I pretend not to hear him, my mum ingrained in my head to always trust my gut. Something about the guy felt off and really scared me. I tried searching for kidnappers slash serial killers who drove around in white vans in 2006, but haven't found anything yet. I often think about what could have happened if I've fallen into the whole idea of being polite, the way women are forced to think. Let this be a reminder to parents to tell your daughters always to be cautious around weird people and to trust your gut. So this happened a couple of years ago. We used to live in a house up in the mountains in the middle of nowhere. The only neighbor we had wasn't that close from our home, so there's literally no one around. This happened on a Sunday. I had my daughter, she was 13, come in for the weekend and she was sleeping upstairs. I was in the living room watching TV when I decided to go outside to look at the stars. The thing is that I had to let my door semi-open because there's only one handle and the other side of the door can only be opened with a key. I'm outside stargazing for about 5 minutes and I felt like I could smell a weird smell. I went back inside, it's 3 a.m. and I decide to sleep. I then woke up at 6 a.m. I could see the sunrise, so I decide to open my window as it's extremely hot and stand up at the edge of the window. Suddenly, I felt like a hand was pushing me in my back. I got pushed from my window by someone. Thing is, it's only me and my daughter in the house, and I got pushed out of my own house by a stranger. Since the window was closed, I couldn't open the door either, because I don't have the keys. I knew that my neighbor is a locksmith, so I subsequently rushed into his house, woke him up, explained the situation. He took his stuff and came with me to my home. Now I'll tell you what my daughter told me. She told me that she could hear an old man coughing that she didn't recognize, so she instantly went into the bathroom and hid with the door closed. She then starts the tap running and phones the police. My neighbor managed to open the door. We rushed upstairs whilst going upstairs. I see a knife missing from my knife set. When we went upstairs to the door, we see my daughters there. And we turn on the lights and see an old man with a hood holding one of my knives waiting in the front of the bathroom door. My neighbor and I beat the life out of him and wait for the police to arrest him. And after that, we move to another county. This happened a couple of summers ago as my boyfriend and I were driving home along a remote forest service road in British Columbia, Canada. Returning from a camping trip, now we're pretty familiar with that area that we're in, haven't been there several times before. Typically, the only people we encounter out there are a good 70 kilometers away and are fellow campers in off-road vehicles or logging trucks on the job. This particular day is beautiful, sunny and warm, mid-June. We were bumping down the road at a good clip when we saw a man coming out of the bush and begins frantically waving at us. It's very odd. We slow down and come to a stop, with my boyfriend rolling down the window to see what this guy had to say. I was in the passenger seat, and as soon as we slowed down, I picked up a weird vibe. He's wearing a blue plaid construction worker's flannel coat, much too heavy for the warm weather, with khaki pants and work boots with clean shaven, messy brown hair, pale skin, and large glasses, maybe 50 years old. Let me stress how unusual it is to run into somebody up there without a vehicle. The guy was fairly soft-spoken and calm, almost robotically. He tells us that, "Hey, my battery's dead. Can I have a jump?" "Sure," we say. We believe in road karma and always want to help out. The trouble is, we're in the brush. "Where is the car?" He said he's been fishing all day too and had the radio playing and that's why it's dead. His car is down in a very overgrown side of the road, a little further up the main road. He walks ahead while we slowly follow behind him in our truck. Both my boyfriend and I are a little weirded out. We joke around to each other as we're following him that we hope he's not luring us to our death. Except, I legit felt on edge, and the joke isn't that funny. We follow him about 150 meters down the overgrown side of the road into a heavily overgrown area full of trees. Now, we would never have noticed this. It's just wide enough for about 4 cars to park side by side. He points it out to us, because the bushes had nearly covered the entrance. Sure enough, a car is there. An older model, big Chevy car that looks very unsuited to the login roads. The trunk is open for some reason, and a blanket is taped over it. The hood was already popped up, so my boyfriend grabs a jump lead and begins to fix the cables. Meanwhile, I swung my leg over the center console and slid into the driver's seat. I felt very uneasy and look around to the cab to see if there's anything I can use as a weapon. All the while telling myself I'm being silly, but nonetheless, I wanted to be ready to act if something happened. The guy then chats with my boyfriend, jovially, telling him about his buddy who he went fishing with, but who went ahead without him, but his friendliness seems forced. He stood back, allowing my boyfriend to do everything, lingering behind him, watching while my boyfriend got the car batteries hooked up. There's an awkward pause when my boyfriend had to prompt the guy to get back into his car to crank it over. Throughout this, I sat in the driver's seat watching feel intense. The car fired up easily, and the guy got back out of the driver's seat. He said thank you in an oddly intense way. My boyfriend removes the cables and hopped into the passenger seat without bothering to put them away properly. The very moment the passenger's doors closed, I was reversing back down the narrow side road with branches scraping across both sides of our car. We got onto the main road within moments and went our way. My boyfriend told me that the guy watches us the entire time. It could have been just a socially awkward guy with a legit dead battery, but I can't help feel this guy's intentions were more sinister. The fact that I stayed vigilant in the car and my boyfriend was there probably stopped anything happening. Also, my boyfriend told me that he doesn't believe the battery was dead. We don't see any fishing gear, and the guy doesn't move after. He was lying about being in a rush to get out of there. He's just watching us leave with a weird smile on his face. I don't know what was up that day, but I'm sure glad I didn't have to find out what his actual intentions were. In the mid-80s, my mum worked at my school, in a different class to me when I was in nursery. To get to school, she always took a shortcut over the heath. About 2 weeks earlier, there was a local girl who actually went missing. The last time someone saw her, she was over the heath. My mum said she wasn't concerned by this as she grew up over there, and it's summer in the middle of the day. And the route she took was quite busy with other people walking dogs and golf balling. Now one day, my mum set off. Halfway to school, she stops thinking she was being stared at. She looked over her shoulder, and at the top of the hill, she just walked down. There's a very large man in biker's leathers and a helmet. She said she couldn't see his face, and that made her feel very uneasy, knowing she's being watched. She said it was funny because she hadn't seen him coming down the hill or heard him, but there was a heavily wooded area opposite the hill, and my mum said that she thought that he might have walked through there, but he wasn't riding his bike. That would explain why she hadn't seen him there before. My mum said she felt uneasy by the stillness and interest, so she starts walking faster to put a healthy distance between them. On the way home later that day, she decided to go on the bus instead of walking, and a week later, the body of the teenage girl was discovered by a dog walker in the same wooded area opposite that hill where the biker man had been watching. There was a police search and they appealed for information and witnesses. My mum contacted them making a statement. The police never solved the murder of the poor girl, but I'm certain that was the one who did it. This story happened when I was in college. There was something about my early years in college that just seemed to bring a range of experiences that ranged from creepy to terrifying. I don't know what it was about that time in my life. This experience is somewhere in the middle of that. Anyway, one night at the beginning of the summer, following my freshman year of college, some of my high school friends and I were going to a party. We hadn't seen each other a ton, and we were all just away at college, mostly during school breaks and a few random weekends we actually see each other. I wouldn't have normally gone to this party, hosted by someone else we went to high school with, but they all wanted to go, and I want to hang out, so agree. This is not the mistake part of the story, that's going to come later. We got to the party, and we realized it was almost exclusively people from high school, which is kind of nice, almost like a big reunion. Soon my prior inhibitions were gone, and that was only partially because I started throwing back screwdrivers the moment I got there. A couple of hours later, I was more than tipsy, full on drunk, totally plastered, which would yet prove to be my grace. After a while, a group of friends decided to split off, and host of the party, Stephanie, lives with her parents, and it's in the middle of nowhere where this is being held. There's forest all around us. Forests at night both scare and thrill me, so drunk me suggested that we go exploring. This is something my friends would not let me live down. So this group, Lauren, Hillary, Jared, Alex, Hugo, Dean, hostess Stephanie, and obviously myself, decide to go on a midnight walk through the woods. It was pretty creepy, not gonna lie, but in a cool way. At least I thought so. A couple people in the group, namely Hillary and Alex, were pretty afraid, but some of the people here keep on making comments about how that they're being creeped out, but I say not to worry and enjoy it. We walk through the forest for a bit, and then we come into this clearing with a lake and dock and tall grasses and stuff, plus a shed and what turned out to be a boathouse, both of which had seen better days. Now, Stephanie and I weren't exceedingly close, so this was my first time exploring the forest, but Dean and Hugo had before and remembered it. They mentioned that this isn't part of the property and we shouldn't be here. It was like suddenly Stephanie realized where we were, and our eyes got super wide and she looks nervous, or more worried that we're gonna get in trouble. I told her everything was fine since you can just trust the judgment of a drunk person and because everyone else is drunk, and they will agree with me, except for Steph, but she was outnumbered and not okay with going back alone. I suggest to play hide and seek, and almost everyone agreed. Honestly, I don't know why people were listening to me. If we're sober, this wouldn't have happened. Now, Hugo was forced to be it because we're idiots and said he didn't have a choice. So he went into the woods and counted while we all ran and hid. I see Dean dart into a shed, but everyone else ran into the woods. I decide to duck down in the tall grass, which varied in height. Sometimes I could kneel, and sometimes I had to be on my belly to be concealed. I heard voices from the trees nearby, whispers like speakers were trying not to be heard. I was curious, so I made my way there, first on my hands and knees, then eventually army crawling as the grass got shorter. I nearly crapped myself when I ran into Stephanie in the grass, who turned out to be doing the exact same thing as me. As we got closer, we realized that it was Lauren and Jared. We're laying there for a little bit, then we hear somebody running through the grass, heart pounding. I turned to see who it was, and Hugo threw himself down next to Stephanie looking terrified. I whisper hiss because there was no way he'd counted as high as we told him. He looked around frantically and told us what he had seen. I'll never forget this because of the sheer terror in his face and voice. "Someone's in the woods," he told us. Stephanie tried to tell him that it's probably someone else we knew, but he said no. He saw the guy hide behind a tree, and he seemed to be in his 40s. He said the guy looked rough too, and he had a very bad feeling about it, so he booked it. It was basically by chance that he found me and Stephanie. "He's looking for someone, or something," he said, telling us that the guy was shining a flashlight too. As if on cue, someone came walking out of the woods and called out, "Jim, you out here?" angrily. This isn't right, and it's about to get worse. That's when we saw the shadow of someone throwing a boat down the lake towards the dock. The first guy walked onto the dock to meet this guy. He then demanded, "Where is he?" The first guy sounded angry, like he was expecting someone else to be here. He then said to his friend, "Yep, I messed up." They proceed to argue, and though I can't hear what they're saying, they're furious at each other. I was worried about the fact that we were so close to them, and they were doing some pretty dodgy things. We need to get out of there. I knew that, but Dean was still in the shed, which was close enough to the boathouse to comfort the given situation. Lauren and Jared are oblivious to the situation. Then we heard someone running through the woods, but like they were trying to do so quietly, I turn and see Hillary. It looked like she was trying to find somewhere else to hide, unaware of what's happening. And with that, I saw her run towards the boathouse, like time stopped, and I didn't know what to do. Honestly, I froze, but Hillary hesitated when she got to the door. She would later tell us that she heard voices inside, and then the door swung open. Hillary was now hiding behind the open door. The first guy stood in the doorway looking around. He must have heard Hillary, who was not being nearly as quiet as she thought she was. If he closed that door from the outside, he'd see Hillary, and then we'd be well and truly out for it. Luckily, he slams the door again, looking more angry. We had to get out of there, but we still had to get Dean, Lauren, and Jared and find Alex. We didn't have a lot of time to think, so we had to be fast. Suddenly, we see Hillary sprinting towards us. Dean emerges from the shed, and Lauren and Jared suddenly appear too. Alas, two men from the boathouse heard us too, come running out. They're all sprinting. I've never seen anything like it before. All of us run too. At some points, I start to fall but manage to stay up. The guys chase us for a while too. We kept running until we got back to Stephanie's house. The party was still going on, and the men hadn't followed us all the way back. Not beyond the woods at least, but we're still pretty scared. I called my brother to pick me up as soon as possible. We spent the night at my brother's house that night, and then we went back to Steph's house the next day to clean up. Now I did want to go back to investigate at a later date, but for some reason, they moved houses very shortly after, so I never actually found out who they were or why they were chasing us.